It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh, hell yeah. Welcome back to the Outkick Bets, Firing at Pins Golf Gambling Show presented by Outkick Bets. I'm the host, Jeff Clark, and of course, I got the homie Dan Z here.
Man, you can't even keep up with the name of the pod. It changes so much.
I know. There's a bunch of titles to get out and stuff. We're here to break down the or discuss the 2024 Waste Management Phoenix Open, a.k.a. the People's Open. Probably the most hyped up and like exciting PGA Tour event of the season. It finishes a few hours or an hour before the Super Bowl. So for golf gamblers like us, we're gonna have a sweat the entire Sunday. I love this tournament.
We get to that though, what are your thoughts on the 54-hole Pebble Beach tournament? What a letdown.
Yeah. So I sank 4.66 units last week at Pebble Beach, which was a bummer. I had Justin Thomas. I snuck in an outright on him at +2,500. He was 4 strokes back after 54 holes and was playing as well as anyone, besides maybe Wyndham Clark, who was just on fire with the putter. So that was a bummer. But I also had him in a head-to-head against Ludvig Åberg, and he might have needed to win the tournament to win that head-to-head.
Now, the head-to-head, did that count? Because legal books, and I know you're in California, so you might not know this, but the legal books don't count head-to-heads if they don't play 4 rounds, at least as far as I've learned.
Yeah, I think I took an L on that one.
you need to talk to your guy, though, because most books cancel matchups, tournament matchups, if they don't play all 4 rounds.
Truth be told, I took so many L's last week on other sports that I honestly was just like, by the end of the week, I was like, all right, whatever. This is what I owe this guy. Cool. All right. So I got to go back and look to see if I won that one or that one chopped for me. The only winner that I had was Adam Scott, the top 20. He tied for 20. Had a pretty awful putting performance in the third round. I also didn't give this out, but it helped my bankroll. I took Scottie Scheffler to top 10 at +105 because he's pretty much a lock to always do that. Not going to do that here at Phoenix because it's -150 and it's a little bit out of what I'm willing to pay. But I got +105 on him last week, so that felt good. I'll see what my bookie gives out this week. Maybe I'll do that as well under the radar. I don't even know what to say about the shortened AT&T Pebble Beach. Like I texted you the other day or that Saturday when they're like, yeah, they're probably not going to finish this. It's going to be shortened after 54 holes. And I was like, wait, that's a thing that happens. They do that. And apparently they did.
I can't remember the last time that happened. So I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it makes sense. Like these guys got to get, like the next tournament week starts on Tuesday, right? Like they got to be there. They got to do all their appearances and their practice rounds. So if you can't finish on Monday, like these guys got to get moving to the next week.
Yeah. I'm down in Long Beach. That's up in Pebble Beach, which, you know, maybe 5-6 hours for me. But we are dealing with probably the worst weather that I can remember in Southern California. Oh, dude,
the videos were insane. Like the waves crashing up and just flying over the fairways and stuff. It was nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. There was, I think 33 mudslides in LA yesterday.
There's an official rule in the PGA rules that if they do play on Monday, like the latest tee time can't be past like 10 a.m. local time. Like they can't even push the tee times back. Like they have to start the round anything on Monday by a certain time. I think it's 10 local. Which is why they were like, yeah, it's where there's no way we're getting everybody off this course by, 2 p.m., 3 p.m. local time. It's not happening.
Also, even if they had clear weather conditions in Pebble Beach that Monday, the storms were so bad Sunday, they might not even been able to get the course in good enough condition to play in.
True. Right.
So they called it early on, like Sunday afternoon. They're like, nope,
I
no,
wish
it's
I had
over.
thought, like, I'm mad at myself though, because like you could have gotten, I saw a couple people were like, I saw the weather, Wyndham took the lead and I bet him at like +300 thinking like this might be over,
I saw people doing that after the conclusion of the third round.
which would be canceled, by the way.
Some books actually paid it out, I heard, but
That's
most of
interesting
them
because
can't, most of them voided it, yeah.
yeah, so the rules on most sports books is if there's a round canceled, any bet that happened before the conclusion of the prior round counts, but any bet that happened after the conclusion of the final round that was played doesn't count. So there were people who, like, with Oberg coming down the stretch with a couple holes left, were like, I'm just going to bet Oberg doesn't catch Clark in the next two holes and I'm
Yeah.
getting 2-1 on it. Like, incredible odds, right? Like, if you think about it, if
Yeah.
you're planning ahead, you're just betting Oberg doesn't go birdie birdie or par eagle at 2-1 in your favor.
Yeah, and anyone like who made that bet and then complained to the sports book about not getting paid out is a real moron.
You
Like,
mean if they made it after?
right.
Yeah, right.
Because it's like you're gonna have like a stamp on your profile.
Yeah, because the books couldn't, like, they would have had to, after the round, have dropped Clark's number to like -1,000 to account for the fact that
Sure,
the tournament
yeah.
might be over.
Yeah. I
In
mean, they
which
would have
case it
just taken
wouldn't
it
really
off the
make any
board.
sense. Well, right.
You can't set odds on weather.
Well, I beg to differ. You can bet on anything, buddy.
Well, fair
Just gotta
enough.
find someone willing to book it.
I don't know if DraftKings or FanDuel would have been one of those someones. But yeah, I mean, Pebble Beach sucked for me. I hit Tom Hoagie a couple years ago and kind of fell in love with golf betting around then. I guess it was actually the Open that I hit with Colin Morikawa in 2021, but I was pretty confident about last week and just
We're gonna
bricked
say
it.
it doesn't count.
What's up?
We're gonna say it doesn't count. It wasn't even a full tournament.
Sure. Well, I did update my season-long betting balance as minus 18.7 units. And if you're thinking at home, wow, that's a lot. Yeah, it is. It is a
What's
lot.
your unit size, Jeff?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about how many months of rent I've lost on the PGA Tour so far. You can do the math on that though, now that you
I
kind of know.
can.
It's a big number. And last year, I was able to pay some of my golf losses with NBA. Not lately,
Yeah, but you're
so.
living off that NFL bankroll, bro. I know you built it up. You were ready for this. You were ready for a thin start to the golf season, which was
Yeah.
smart. You fucking crushed the NFL. You know it's going to be a little lean until the model gets corrected on the new golf season, and then you start hammering winners in like midsummer.
I'm hoping that's how it works. Last year, I was hammering winners to start the season off and just went ice cold in the summer. So hopefully it's opposite this time around.
Let's get started.
Yeah,
What do
dude.
we got?
So
What's the model telling us?
it's a bit of a watered down field. The model. All right, yeah, let's get right into the model. I'm using Bet the Number from Tour Junkies and Fantasy National. I flip between any all of them, both of them, excuse me. Obviously, strokes gained approach is the most important predictive stat. Bet the Number has going for the green, and I used going for the green a birdie or better percentage because there's like a lot of risk reward holes at TPC Scottsdale. That's kind of like the theme of these TPC courses, especially on like the back nines. So like they're giving you an opportunity to score, but you could dunk it in the water and get really screwed. So I looked at going for the green birdie percentage. Like you said, I think maybe before we started recording, I don't know if this made the recording, but this is the third most predictive event by course history on tour behind the Masters and Wailea that hosts the Sony Open. Hideki went back to back here in 2016, 2017. Scottie Scheffler's went back to back the past 2 years. I'm pretty sure Brooks Koepka has won it twice and
He did, yes, but not back to back.
not back to back, but a lot of multiple winners here. Phil Mickelson won it a couple times. So of course history is very important here. I upweighted that in my model as well. Putting on overseed greens is something I use. General par four scoring, something I like to look at, but I put a bigger emphasis on it here since there's 11 of those. And I always conclude par five scoring because I don't really think you can win a tournament unless it's the U.S. Open or PGA Championship under tough conditions without crushing par fives.
In the past 9 tournaments here, there have been 3 repeat winners.
Yeah. Yeah. So just by...
Only 6 golfers have won this tournament in the last 9 years. Matsuyama, Scheffler, Koepka, Webb Simpson, Ricky Fowler, and Gary Woodland.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even go back further. J.B. Holmes won it twice in 2006 and 2008.
Yeah, Mickelson showed up there twice, right? I got that one right.
Mickelson won it twice, yes. His were quite far apart. He actually won in between. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He won just before J.B. Holmes and then won in 2013 as well. So yeah. Calcavecchia won it twice, looks like.
I heard
Johnny
a good
Miller
point
won it twice.
Made by Pat Mayo, though. It's like you might not want to get too bogged down in course history because if you look at all those winners, they're also like good players, right? Like Scottie Scheffler has good course history almost everywhere.
Right. But if you think about it, especially this season, like it's been a lot of long shot winners. So this could be the tournament where we get back to one of the top players winning the tournament.
I hope so. The average odds of the last 10 winners here, despite there being a lot of repeat winners, is plus 4,400 odds.
Seems strange to me since Koepka has won it twice, Scheffler's won it twice, and Matsuyama. I guess that was a little bit before Matsuyama was kind of like the Masters champion, obviously. So that might have played a role, but I mean, Fowler in 2019 couldn't have been that far.
Let me give you the odds.
Yeah, I would love to hear them.
So 1,300 on Scheffler last year, 2,500 the year before that. Remember, 2022 Phoenix Open was Scheffler's first career win. He was always close. Brooks was plus 5,000 when he won it in 2021.
Must have been hurt.
I think he was coming off an injury, and I'm pretty sure that... Never mind, I lied. I was going to say that was his first Phoenix Open, which doesn't even make sense because he won it in 2015. Webb Simpson won it at 14-1. Ricky at 22-1. Woodland, 50-1. Hideki, 11-1. The year prior, 28-1, and then Koepka 40-1 at 2015. So yeah,
all right. So that, but that number is being weighted down by a couple. Like no one beyond 50-1 has won it, and it's weighted down by. Actually, there's no way the average odds is 44 based on those numbers you just gave me. There's no way. It's not possible.
Well, I stopped short. Kevin Stadler, the year before Brooks Koepka.
All right. Well,
125-1.
Yeah. All right. Well, we don't need to go back to Kevin Stadler in 2014. Well, starting with Koepka.
You called me out as like the math ain't math. And like, all right, well, here it is. Here's how the math gets
well,
there.
Well, so then that even further proves the point. It's pulled by the Stadler 125-1. The last 9 winners, no one's been worse than 50-1, which is going to be great when I give out Gary Woodland at 170-1.
I mean, I wrote this in my Phoenix Open breakdown today. It's like, it's almost irresponsible at this point to not have a 100-1 bomb on your card.
Sure.
And I have one of them as well. I mean, you can obviously poke holes in 100-1 shots, but they've been getting there in the first 5 tournaments. The first guy that made my card...
What was Clark? I'm sorry, real quick. What was Clark?
Last week?
Last week.
100-1.
Yeah. It was 100. Wow.
I saw him drop to like 80-1 or whatever, but yeah, there were 100-1s out there.
I wish I was paying closer attention last week because I think Wyndham's almost an auto trigger at those kind of odds because he has so much win equity.
Yeah.
At any given time.
Yeah, I mean, he is...
I did think this was funny, though. There was... You know, golf Twitter is both the best and the worst thing ever. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, most people were like, this, you know, Wyndham Clark shoots a 60 at Pebble Beach, sets the... Like, it was awesome. Like, dude was ripping bomb after bomb on the greens. He just couldn't miss. And then you see it creep in. Well, they're playing lift, clean, and play, so is it really a 60? You're like, oh, here we go. Here come the purists to be like, it's lift, clean, and cheat, so it doesn't count. I think it freaking counts.
Yeah, I'm
still
not...
Still got to hit the shot.
That's right. As
someone who fluffs
you,
up his golf ball all the time, you still got to hit the shot.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I defer to you. I've never played in golf. I don't really know what that means, other than obvious. You know?
Yeah, for these guys, it's a big deal, right? Like, you don't have to ever worry about hitting out of a divot. You know, there were some really, you know, Scheffler had one that, like, creeped into the rough just off the green, and he got to move it onto the fringe. Like, that's a big deal for, like, even for these guys. You know, not having to chip out of that right on that edge, that's kind of a tough shot. And getting to move it onto the fringe and putt, as opposed to having to try and chip it from, like, wet, long grass right there. It makes a difference, but again, no one else shot 60, and it's not like Clark shot a 60 and then like two other guys had a 61 and then a, you know what I mean? Like, he lapped the field.
Yeah, I think the next closest guy shot a -5 in the third round.
Yeah, he lapped the field. So, like, even if you want to make that argument, but it's the same people who are like, you know, it's not a 59. Like, well, he's playing on a par 72. How is shooting a 59 on a par 70 better than shooting a 60 on a par 72? He's 12 under. As opposed to 11 under, which is a 59 on a par 70.
Yeah. No, I don't take anything away from it. I mean, dude, it was crazy. Like, that's the best golf I've ever witnessed anyone play, like, live or whatever, since I've been following the sport. Like, Cam Smith in round 4 of the Open was insane. But this was just like, when he saved bogey after he hit one around the green left-handed, it's like, oh, okay. Like, he hit one, smoked it past the hole because he hit it left-handed 25 feet, and then he putted it off the fringe, which didn't even count towards his total foot, feet putt, whatever mark, because it was off the fringe.
That was actually one of the most incredible holes of golf I've ever seen any professional play. Like, he hit an insanely bad tee shot, like, horrendously bad tee shot, somehow managed to put himself in a worse position with his second shot. I can't believe he hit that left-handed. Like, I got it, because it was one of those shots where the ball was going to be about at his waist, so he was going to be choking down to the steel, which is tough, but it was doable. So going left-handed there didn't make a lot of sense, at least to me. Even just, and of course, hindsight's 2020, but I'm watching him do it, I'm like, dude, you had a stance. Like, before he did it, I'm like, I'm shocked he's hitting this left-handed. The only time you usually see that is if the ball's, like, up against a tree and the guy literally can't stand next to it. Then they'll flip around. And even then, a lot of times, they'll take an unplayable over hitting it left-handed. I was floored that he elected to take that shot in that spot. Honestly. Yeah. I thought he could make contact with it right-handed. And you're always going to be better off hitting the ball right-handed than flipping your golf club and swinging from the other side.
It felt like a heat check, kind of. He's like, I see.
Yeah, like, I And honestly, I wonder, part of me wonders, like, that happened. He was like, oh, shit, okay. This isn't that kind of round where it's just like, it doesn't matter what I do. Everything's going to go right. Like, I still have to execute.
Yeah.
But that putt that he made after that, and he even talked about it after the round when they said, like, what was, and he was like, the bogey save, like, 1,000%. Like, turning that disaster in saving bogey and then immediately bouncing back with a birdie was like, I was like, oh, this is my day.
I think he was talking to that girl, Amanda Renner. We're probably referencing the same interview, but didn't he say, like, because they all knew the weather was coming. He's like, I won the tournament there. Like, I knew I won the tournament there, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was also funny, too, because he was trying not to say, like, I hope we don't play tomorrow. But he was also kind of like, of course I hope we don't play tomorrow. Yeah. Like, why would I want to go play another round? I won the tournament if we don't play another hole.
Well, I'm anticipating you making fun of me about this. But Wyndham Clark made my card. He's the first better, or the first guy that I backed here. I got him at 28-1 on BetMGM. He opened at like 35-1 at some books here. And he just, I mean, he checks the most important three boxes: recent form, course history, and win equity. He won two signature events last year, Wells Fargo Championship, 2023 U.S. Open. He was T10 last year at the Phoenix Open. He gained strokes in all the major fields except for off the tee last year at Scottsdale. And his driving outside of his putting is probably his best skill. We talked about the whole risk reward hole thing at Scottsdale. Over the last 80 rounds, which obviously large sample size, but he ranks 6th in this field in going for the green, birdie or better rate. He's nails on these overseed greens. And I think the Los Angeles Country Club, where the 2023 U.S. Open was as a comp course to Scottsdale. Obviously, much more difficult, but you know, if you can play well there, you should be able to play well here. So I'm going with Wyndham Clark again, and it wouldn't be like that crazy for him to win back to back events. I mean, Finau did it a couple years ago. Xander did it a couple years ago. We see it here or there, and this is a watered down field. So I'm gonna give it a shot with him. So
I'm not gonna make fun of you. Everything you're saying makes sense. I mean, it's just tough for a guy who was 100-1 last week to just jump to 28-1 because of a win in 1 week. And you keep saying watered down field, but like not at the top, not really.
Yes, it is. It was a signature event last year. They had Rory, Rahm, Scheffler, Morikawa, like everyone
played. I meant compared to last week.
Even compared to last week, like Shoffley played last week, Hovland played, all the big guys played last week. This week, Cantley is randomly taking this one off. Victor and Xander withdrew. Morikawa is not in the field. He doesn't play well here anyways, but the point is that the field is pretty weak. And the numbers was just wrong last week. I mean, like, I think he was dinged a little bit for quote-unquote bad performances leading into the Pebble Beach, but he was T39 at the American Express. He shot 17 under. He was T29 at the Century. He shot 19 under. So it's like, yeah, he didn't place that well, but like he scored at least. And he lost strokes putting in both those tournaments. And it's just like, that's something you can count on not happening. So I am going to play it. But yeah, to your point, it is a little square, but
square. You love it.
Yeah.
Hey, look, square was working really well for you in the NFL. So why not carry it over?
Yeah, exactly. Don't overthink it, dude. Just fire
Don't
away.
Don't overthink it.
I was going to say, I was going to kind of try to tee it over to you to one of your picks or segue to you to one of your picks.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
do.
I really wanted to work the 2023 U.S. Open angle into my full card, but for budgetary reasons, I laid off a Ricky Fowler who was tied with Wyndham Clark going into the final round of the 2023 U.S. Open. Obviously, has great course history here. He made your card, though, right?
I would prefer to stick with... I had a great transition prepared, and you just threw it all off. But speaking of square...
Well, ignore all the dumb things the host just said. What were you going to go with?
Speaking of square, I was going to transition by making myself look like a dumbass, which is I just ripped on you for being square. First golfer on my card, back-to-back winner, Scottie Scheffler. Here's the thing, though. I can't ever recommend playing anyone, a professional golfer, pre-tournament at really less than 10-1 is hard for me to swallow. But if you're playing on legal books, they're always giving you promotions and things to, you know, obviously entice you to play. DraftKings offered plus 300 odds on any outright bet. Scottie at the time, he's since dropped a little bit, was plus 500. So I bet Scottie at plus 800 because to me, it's just a no-brainer at that number. I mean, the guy's the back-to-back champion. If you look at Data Golf, they give him about a 16% chance to win. And at plus 800, I think the implied odds are like 12 or 13. So we're getting some value there. So what I would say is to anyone listening, if you can, I cannot recommend Scottie Scheffler at 4.5-1. I just can't do it because you just have to put so much to really get a good return on an outright. But if you're able to lock down one of those boosts that are generally offered pre-tournament, this is the best way to use them. I mean, let's look at DraftKings bonus, for example. It's plus 300, as I mentioned. But like adding 300 to someone like, let's just say, you know, you're into Wyndham Clark, okay? 28-1 going to 31-1 doesn't really change your implied odds that much. But when you're talking about the top of the board, Scheffler going from plus 500, which is 20% implied odds, to plus 800, which is 13% implied odds, is a huge push in your favor, right? Whereas like 28-1 is, what are those implied odds? Somewhere around like 3.7, and 31-1 is probably like 3.4. You're getting like 0.3% on your implied odds. Not worth it, but what I would say is use those boosts. take the guy at the top you like. I don't even hate it. If you really like Justin Thomas this week at 10 to 1, use it, make him 13 to 1. Again, you're still getting 10 to 1 is obviously 9% implied odds. 13 to 1 is like 7%. So you're still getting some value there. That's what I would recommend. But I went with Scheffler because he's the back-to-back champ. He was playing well last week. He had one bad round. It just happened to come during the final round. But he's in good form. And as we talked about, course history here is important. So I'm backing Scheffler 8 to 1.
Also, great analysis. Great point about the using the promotions and your benefit. What's the max bet on that?
So it depends on your personal account. Mine is 25 right now. So it's, what did I get? 20, basically to win 200, 25 to win 200 nice. On Scheffler. Which is honestly, like, I try to get my outrights. I know you try to get your outrights to like 10 grand. I got the thing is,
I need a 10 grand cash this weekend.
When you bet legally, though, you have to be careful of having your wins be too big, because that's what triggers like the government getting in up in your business. If you hit for too much on a single win, you automatically trigger a tax form. So personally, I try to keep my wins under a certain number so that I don't have to. Sorry, Uncle Sam, if you're listening, but I try to not pay those if I don't have to. So 200 is a little low for me, but it's again. Look, that's the max bet they offered. I mean, what you could do if you really want to is you could use the boost for $25 and then throw another 25 or 50 on Scheffler at his original number, and you'd still be getting plus odds.
I got another idea you might like.
Please.
Parlaying Scottie Scheffler with your pick to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, Chiefs plus 105. Well, I mean, we can just go through all of them.
Let's see if we can do that.
Niners, you can. I'm looking at it now. DraftKings, Niners, minus 125 to win. Scottie Scheffler, plus 450. The parlay is 9 to 1, plus 890. If you wanted to do Chiefs money line, it would be plus 1,000, 1027. So that's another way go about it.
Except if Scheffler's out on Sunday, it kind of ruins your whole day.
Well, I mean. I wouldn't put life-changing money on it, and I'm sure if Scottie Scheffler's not in it, everyone listening is going to find a way to talk themselves into another Super Bowl bet. So
that's true. Good point.
but imagine just like if he wins and you kind of have like a free roll at a 10 to 1, then you can maybe live bet an under.
Oh,
like,
baby.
Now live bet the awesome. Niners if they go
I'm
down.
I'm getting a little hot over here.
Oh, you love the metal.
I do love the metal.
All right, so... What else is on your card?
Well, you mentioned it, so I might as well say it. I didn't back Ricky last week. I was nervous about just his current form, but he played pretty well. And like we talked about, course history being as important here as it is. I think I like the number a lot. Speaking of using DraftKings stuff, I had a free bet, $20 free bet for some other promotion. So I went ahead and tossed that on Ricky at 55 to 1. As long as you stay under that $1,200 threshold, I don't think Uncle Sam knows about it. So perfect number for me, $20 to win $1,100. I don't have a lot of great arguments other than course history here is important. Ricky's won here. He's a fan favorite. He loves playing in these types of events with the crowd going. I think, you know, some guys tend to shy away from those kind of moments. I think Ricky loves it. I think he leans into it. It's not a major where Ricky historically struggles. He had a win last year at a similar type event with a similar field. If he's going to pop, I'm hoping it's this week. And he's right around that cutoff of where winners from this event have been the last 9 years. As you mentioned, we had a 40 to 1 and 250 to 1s. I got him at 55. So he's kind of right around that number. So that's like the middle of my car. I got one favorite at the top in Scheffler. I got Fowler in the middle, and then I'd already mentioned it earlier, so I'll just throw it out there. I'm also going to throw just a very small unit sizing on Gary Woodland, another past champion. He's dealt with injuries. Obviously, he finally came back a couple weeks ago. He has missed the cut in both of his events this year, but there's a reason he's 170 to 1, which I'm happy to play him at that number because I like Gary Woodland. I won on him when he won the U.S. Open. It was awesome. One of the best golf hits of my life. So I am... I'm going to play Woodland for a very, very small amount of money.
If you followed me throughout the years, you know I'm a South Dakota girl at heart who grew up in a ranching family. And I know that America First isn't just a political movement. It's a kitchen table issue, quite literally. I always support American family-owned companies, ranchers, and farmers who put high-quality meat products on the tables of their fellow Americans. And my friends at Omaha Steaks are the experts. With Father's Day right around the corner, what better to give dad than the experience of world-class Omaha Steaks with the deluxe Father's Day gift for just $89.99. This package includes a mouth-watering assortment of dad's grilling favorites like Omaha Steaks Butcher's Cut Top Sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha Steaks burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code OUTKICK at checkout to order the deluxe Father's Day gift and get 4 additional burgers absolutely free. That's 24 unforgettable entrees for just $89.99 when you use promo code OUTKICK at checkout. Get quality steaks for the fathers in your life. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code OUTKICK and get the deluxe Father's Day gift plus 4 free burgers today.
All right, man. The second guy in my card is going, I'm shifting gears, going my Asians, going Minwoo Lee, who's technically Australian, Asian Australian, obviously. He does two things amazing. He crushes the ball off the tee. His ball speed is 189 miles per hour, and the average PGA Tour ball speed is 172. So this dude just crushes it, and he's a just lights out putter. Also, TPC Sawgrass, which hosts the Players' Championship, is a comp course to TPC Scottsdale. He was in the final group with Scottie Scheffler entering Sunday at the Players before he fizzled out and ended up T6. That was despite losing 7 strokes with his irons. Like, the dude apparently can't hit an iron shot, but if he can for a weekend, like, the rest of his game is just sick. He crushes short par 4s and par 5s, at least according to the limited shot link data he has. He's obviously familiar with desert-style golf courses being from Australia. He recently won the Australian PGA Championship and the DP World Tour back in November. And he was T5 at the U.S. Open. Gained strokes off the tee, tee to green, round the green, and all the major metrics, approach and putting as well. So shot 3 rounds of in the 60s at the U.S. Open. So I'm going to go Minwoo Lee. He's kind of a fan favorite, but I think he burned people somewhat recently. So maybe not as many people are betting him here in this one. Any Minwoo Lee thoughts? Minwoo Lee thoughts, excuse me.
No, but I do have an Asian that I'm looking at. So I thought you'd appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Based on data golf numbers, the 5th most likely winner of this tournament is Ben Ahn. And he is not the 5th most likely winner according to Vegas odds. That would be Sam Burns. Ben Ahn actually has the same odds as Wyndham Clark, which is why I know you're not going to be betting him, because that would be 2 bets on the same range, and I know you like Clark better. I don't love Ben Ahn at the same number as Wyndham Clark, if I'm being totally honest, but sometimes you look at the numbers and he probably pops a little bit, at least relative to his odds to win this tournament versus his odds on the board. So I'm not locking that in, but if I know to come to these podcasts with at least, you know, 1 Asian to talk about, because you're going to want to talk about it. And so I've got Ben on as a I'm keeping an eye on. I'm hoping his number drops. I'd really like to see him drop into the 30s at least. Maybe guys like Wyndham getting bet up. Maybe guys like Scheffler and Spieth and Holm. Like, there are a lot of guys at the top of this board that I could see getting money, pushing their odds up and pushing some of those guys like Ben on down. I might even suggest that with you, with Minwoo Lee, he's in that kind of same range where he could get pushed down the board a little bit if some of those other guys get bet.
Not where I bet. He's those numbers are going to stay right where they are, let me tell you.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, actually, I got some value already because I bet Matsuyama this morning, and he was 50-1, and now he's 40.
Nice, dude. Nice. You know I love a decky. I'm definitely playing him top 20 to plus 200. That'll be one of the random bets that I'll squirrel in there on Twitter and add to my betting card. Obviously, you heard that here.
So. I just can't see a tournament. First of all, you not betting on Hideki in and of itself would be a shock. Mm-hmm. But you not betting Hideki Matsuyama at a course that he's won twice just seems unfathomable to me. Because if he won, I wouldn't want to be around you.
Yeah, the podcast.
It's
going
to ruin the Super Bowl for you. It's going to ruin the Super Bowl. You won't be able to watch it.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
You'll be in a...
I'll be fucking crushed.
You'll be blackout drunk as he's like coming down 16, 17, and 18. You're just ripping shots, hoping he just shanks one into the crowd or something.
I love him too much. I'll be rooting for him. I'll be rooting for him.
I know. So I know you're betting.
I will bet him live at whatever odds. I don't care if it's minus 500. I'll bet 500 to win 100. I don't care. Like, I need to profit off of Hideki winning another tournament. Yeah, last year, dude, he was T29. He picked up strokes and all the stats except for his minus 4.7 with the irons. It's always the opposite. It's always the opposite with him. So it's like, if you can just take all of that and then have a good iron
And the thing
weekend,
with Decky is, like, you know he's good once a tournament for a just balls to the wall round where he's going to shoot like 63. The key is not shooting the 74 or the 72 around it. Like, so if he can just go like, you know, 68, 68, 64, we're going to be in good shape. And that's kind of what I'm banking on this week.
And you pretty much nailed it with that thing last year. He shot 74 in round one, 68, 67, 70. He just couldn't overcome that round one.
Gotta avoid that one round where he just can't putt. And like, I know you and I think we talked about this last week probably, but he had the five holes in a row where he missed putts inside 5 feet, which is just, it's unfathomable. And you just keep saying to yourself every time, like, if he putts. But I guess at a certain point, it's like, but he's not going to.
Yeah. Yeah, supposedly these greens are pretty easy to putt on. But
he's a two-time winner here. So, like, if there's any event where he could get hot with the putter, clearly this is one where he can.
Yeah, I think he lost strokes putting in his two wins, actually, which is,
I love that. That's even better. That's just the most Hideki Matsuyama thing that could ever happen.
That's a lie. He gained 0.1 in his one win and 1.7 in his other win. But he was
0.1 though. Like, he's average putting and he won. That's all he's got to do is putt average. If he putts field average, he wins the tournament. It's wild.
Yeah. So I'm definitely
he's
gonna
that
have something
good at everything else.
Yeah. Hi. I'm with you. Let's keep with the Asian theme though. Tom
oh,
Kim.
Yes.
He's my one. He's my one and done pick here as well. I'm looking at it as a slight leverage play against the field. I think a lot of people are going to be on Sam.
Yeah,
Burns.
You got on the wrong side last week
with Spieth. Oh yeah,
yeah.
The sucker. That was the squarest play, and
I
felt it.
Bad.
He was. He couldn't. His ball striking was good. He just couldn't hit a putt. And there were a lot of close to makeable. Like, there were a lot of like.
Did you consider him this week as like a? Yeah, he screwed me last week, but like, it wasn't that far off, and now other people might be scared away from him.
Not at the odds, no. I didn't
really, because he's at a worse number this week, right? Even though it's, as you mentioned, an easier field.
It's pretty much the same.
He's at 8. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty much the same. The one that
you're just never going to get a discount on Spieth because I think he's very popular publicly.
Mm-hmm. The last one out, the honorable mention on my card that I'm really struggling not playing is our guy, but mostly your guy, Sam Burns. I feel like Sam Burns is gonna have a great performance this one.
I don't know.
I might take his head to head.
My only issue with Burns is like he is such a great putter, but I don't know that putting is gonna be as big a deal this week. Like you said, these greens are relatively easy. If you look at look at some of these past winners. Scheffler's not a great putter. Matsuyama's not a great putter. Gary Woodland's not a great
putter.
They're
bad. All of them are bad.
Right. So, like, this is an event that, like, I don't know that you gain a ton from being a great putter. I'm not sure that this is an event where I would play Burns just on that. But again, you know, who the hell knows? Could be wrong.
Agreed. But it's also like, he's just a proven winner. Like, you know, he can put it together and he can get a win. And like, putting is one of those things where if it's like, if you, I don't know, you can speak to this a lot better than I can because you actually play. But if you knock down a 25 footer, doesn't it give you momentum? You know what I mean? Doesn't it's like, I don't know, maybe not. You also don't believe in momentum, so.
I don't believe in momentum.
But also, I've heard, like, I just consume so much, like, golf betting content since I don't play and I'm not very familiar with, like, the history of the sport. I have to, like, learn, I have to, like, study extra hard. But people, I heard Rick Gaiman say, I think, Rick Gaiman say that he thinks TPC Scottsdale should be, like, a match play course because it's got a lot of risk-reward holes. And if you remember, Sam Burns is the reigning match play champion. And so I think, I don't know, I just have a, and it's just kind of like a feeling. I have a feeling he's going to go well here. He was T6 last year. He was T10 last week at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, I actually bet him live late, and he kind of faded a little bit towards the end after having a really nice push early on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, look, I love Sam Burns. He's a good player, and if he wins, I'll be happy for him. But I won't feel bad if I didn't bet it. Not like with Ricky, where I'll feel like an asshole if he wins and I didn't bet him. Yeah. Just like you with Hideki.
Yeah. But Burns is the last guy that I'm leaving off my card. Tom Kim, though, I got him at 40-1 at FanDuel. Last year, he was 25-1 in this tournament. Again, that includes all the studs on the tour last year, you know, John Rahm and Rory, obviously Scheffler as well. He picked up 3 strokes on the greens last year at the Phoenix Open, but lost strokes everywhere else. I think he bounces. Last year was his debut at TPC Scottsdale. I think he has a better time this time around. And also, like, he was 20 last year, maybe 21. He's still 21 this year, so I think he's 20 last year. And it's just like, that's a crazy crowd for a 20-year-old kid in his first time. It's kind of like, what the hell is going on? They're doing blow next to the greens and shit. And he's probably like, oh my God, what is going on here? So I think he'll be better off this time around. Again, I comp the U.S. Open, last year's U.S. Open, to this tournament or this course. And he finished T8 last year at the U.S. Open, was just crushing it with his irons, crushing it with the putter. He's the reigning back-to-back champion at TPC Summerlin, which is in Las Vegas. Obviously, desert-style course. Another par 71 course, very easy to score at. I just love the pricing, too. You know, like last year, again, 25-1, 40-1 here. He's got worse odds than Cameron Young, Minwoo Lee, who I have on my card, Ben An. None of these guys have won a PGA Tour event. And he's got an actual win equity. So I'm going to give it a shot. And I'm making him one and done as kind of a leverage play, like I said. My bomb is Billy Horschel. I lost last year in the Honda Classic with him because of his course history and I think his form. And just kind of banned him since. I'm ready to go back and be hurt by Billy Horschel. Again, there's been 5 tournaments this year. All 5 have been won by at least 101 long shot. He's 150. I gave Matt 150, I think, at FanDuel. Now he's down at like 130, DraftKings and FanDuel. He's missed back-to-back cuts in the American Express and Farmers Insurance, so he doesn't have a lot of form to speak of. But he randomly contends at events. He won the 22 Memorial Tournament after shooting 13 over par the year before at the Memorial. Made no sense. He missed the cut in the tournament before and after his 22 Memorial win. And I don't know, he's accurate off the tee, which plays well at every course, and he can putt. So I'm hoping that he just has a good irons, good weekend with the irons, and, you know, it's 150-1. That's essentially it. The guy's won 7 times in the PGA Tour, so it's possible.
Head-to-head, you and me, Gary Woodland versus Billy Horschel?
Yeah, but are we actually going to track it this time? Because we lost track of our bets almost every...
I think I was up.
Right, but you say that all the time.
I don't think I've ever lost a bet to you, actually. You probably owe me like a grand or something.
don't make me scrub the OutKick bets archives.
It's funny to me that like both of us could have done that, but we're also both way too lazy to go back through and look. I kept wondering what our preseason bets were because we said we were going to make preseason bets on every division when we did the division previews. We did it on the first one and then never did it again. I think I beat you on the DK Metcalf Cooper Cup one, though.
Yeah, I think you did too. Yep.
And I think you also took the Rams over to have a better record than the 49ers, which I also beat you at. So, you know.
I had to have gotten odds for that.
Venmo at DZekchesky.
I gave out my Venmo on my other podcast, Mad Scientist Party Hour, and some girl randomly Venmoed me $2. It's like, thanks for all the
please
laughs.
Do. DZAKSHESKE. on Venmo, hit me up, send me money. It'd be great. I got rent to pay too.
So we're going to connect tomorrow for the Super Bowl 58 betting preview, betting extravaganza, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Me, Dan Z, and Scott Martin will go over that. But best of luck to you guys, whether you fade or follow our stuff for the Waste Management
Don't
Phoenix
fade.
Open.
Don't fade. Don't be that guy. Don't fade.
It's hard to fade in golf. And it's like
really
intentionally.
Fade in golf, right?
Yeah, but you can. It's an intentional dick move, though. It's just, you're just betting the other guys head to head. It's like, oh, man, you really think I'm down 18.7 units. I want me to give you the current head-to-heads for Minwoo Lee and Tom Kim.
Yeah, please do. Because I'm going to take them.
All right, no. It's, let's talk about it, though. Minwoo Lee is playing. He's -130 over Bo Hostler. Come on.
Oh, I just found an article. Oh, they because Golf Digest posted an article that said bettors outraged after DraftKings voids millions in Wyndham Clark bets. But I think DraftKings came out and was like, that's not true.
Yeah, I think the Outkick Golf Gambling dude, or golf dude, Mark Harris, texted me about something like that, where he's like, DraftKings voided that. And then I Googled it, and that wasn't true, and I just never corrected him.
Again, the rules were pretty clear that, like, they say, like, if it's 54 holes, we all placement bets made before the conclusion of the final round are valid. If they voided the matchup bets, that's what they say going in, right? Like, that is clearly spelled out. Tournament matchups are voided if they don't play all four rounds.
Yeah. Minwoo Lee facing Bo Hostler is -130. Sung J.M. is facing Tom
Facing
Kim.
Bo Hostler, the guy we ripped on last week, and then he came out and I don't know where he ended up finishing. I don't think he ended up being any, but like there was that moment on like Thursday where you texted me like, Bo Hostler, damn it. Like he got off to a good start.
He's been playing well lately.
He has been, but I just, God, I anyone that wears a visor, like I just can't. I can't.
You're not a fan of Cashmere Keith Mitchell?
I don't, he's like the one guy that I, it's like doesn't bother me as much, but I do in general hate visors. Like it drove me nuts that Gus Malzahn wore one, and I was always anti Gus Malzahn. Like college football coaches wearing visors is horrible. Golfers wearing visors is horrible. Yeah, I'm not a visor.
Does
guy.
Keith Mitchell get a slight pass because he just nukes it off the tee?
I still don't like it. I'll say that. I like everything about Keith Mitchell except that he wears a damn visor. Put a hat on like a man.
Let's leave it at that. Well said, Dan. Also,
plus the visor makes Bo Hostler, he has such a small face that it just makes him look weird. And then he wears like, he just looks like a huge nerd. Like, and I'm like, you're a professional athlete. It annoys me that he's a professional athlete, I think.
Yeah. It's like, you got to really work hard to make your golf attire look more nerdy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
you just go out there and just the regular get up. And
then
like,
you get like, you know, you get like Dustin Johnson. Like that dude looks like a stud in golf attire.
Yeah, that's true. And Victor Hovland does too, but he is mad short, right? Like he's brawlic, so you don't really get it, but I think he's like 5'7". I think he's a short
Is Hovland
king.
Short? I'm
pretty
short.
Sure he is, dude.
I don't think he is. Victor Hovland height. No, he's 5'10". Get out of here.
Yeah, but
you said 5'7". 5'10" is not true. The 5'10"
they used
very
to list Victor
height.
Cruz at 5'10". No way that guy was 5'10". Like they used to list Allen Iverson as 6'1" or like Chris Paul as 6'1". Dude, I stood next to Chris Paul. Right, no way is he 6'1".
Wait, there is Golf fan stumbles across Victor Hovland's Tinder, but followers are convinced Ryder Cup star is lying about his height.
Of course, he's a midge.
Oh, this is a whole thing. Oh man, we just
Vic
stumbled
has
onto
dwarfism, I'm telling you.
No shot, Vic is 5'10".
No, dude.
Oh wow. This is interesting.
You've seen him standing next to anyone. He's never taller than him. Never. Like him and Rory are eye level. What's Rory? Rory is like infamously 5'7", right?
I'm gonna search Getty images for Victor Hovland and just see, like, there's gonna be a shot of him standing next to someone. It's interesting. Like, I never really real. Like, I always just assumed he was. Here's him, definitely shorter than Sungjae.
Well,
I don't know how tall Sungjae is, though. Oh God, here's Scheffler just
towering.
He looks like Scheffler's child, yeah. Like Scheffler's teenage son standing yeah. next to him. Okay.
And what's Scheffler, like 6'2"?
Yeah, not big enough to be towering over Victor Hovland.
Does it look like a 3-inch gap? Not really, right?
All right, you might be onto something. All right, I'll hush. You might have gotten me there. But his caddy's short. See, that's smart. That's smart. If you want people to think you're tall, make sure you hire a short caddy. Because like he is taller than his caddy.
It's like the hot chick hanging out with a bunch of fours.
Smart. Yeah. That's so smart. Like, right now, I could stand to lose a few pounds. My caddy would be fat as shit. Like, I would have the fattest, beardedest caddy just to be like, hey, I don't look like that guy.
It's like, I'm 5'10", and I'd be the center in a Chinese basketball rec league.
I would be doing like interviews like over the phone with caddies, and he'd be like, so here's what I know about golf. I'm like, I don't need to know what you know about golf. I need to know your height and weight. Are you shorter and fatter than me?
What is your
That's really all I don't even care what you know about golf.
What is your height with your shoes on? That is the most important question.
All here. I want to know. Height and weight is all I need to know. Your BMI, your body mass index.
Can you update your resume with your height and weight and then resend it to me and I'll call you back?
I'm going to need a recent picture of you holding the newspaper to prove that it's recent with your measurements. And, you know, if you know anything about golf, that's a bonus, but it's not the most important part.
Listen, Bones, I don't care what you did with Mickelson or JT. How tall are you?
Not Bones, dude. He's
huge, right?
Amazing calves. He would make me look horrible. I actually respect any golfer who has like a caddy who's jacked and like in better shape than them. Because I'm like, man, that takes some security in your masculinity to be like, yeah, my caddy's jacked and bigger than me. Like, you know what? I win tournaments and he doesn't.
I tip him, not the other way around.
I pay his salary. Don't you forget it.
All right. Well, that's been good stuff.
That's what you tune in for. That's what people tune in for.
Definitely not the picks. But
No.
Regardless.
But you get some fun. Get some fun along the way.
Yeah. I mean, I won't be having fun this weekend, most likely, unless Tom Kim, Minwoo, Wyndham Clark, or Billy Horschel get across the finish line for me. Let's hope. Knock on wood. Check me out on Twitter at Jeffrey_Clark. I'll probably throw some additional Phoenix Open bets in there. Follow Dan at Real Dan Zach on Twitter. Most importantly, show some love to our podcast, Outkick Bets, the Outkick Bets podcast on Apple and Spotify. Until tomorrow, peace, y'all.